Welcome to episode 71 of Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here. How you doing? Mike. Sounds like he's taking some tires off.
Does he know what he's doing?
Well, he's opened Mike's Car Fix-It service. You take your car over to Mike's and he'll change your oil or your tires or your mind, whether you need it or not. He says if the car fix-it thing doesn't work out, he'll form a garage band.
Because he has the garage, right?
The garage.
Yes. Okay.
I'm glad you got it, Larry. That was pretty subtle.
That was
pretty subtle.
Would you take your car to Mike?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't take my car to Mike. Better believe that right now.
All right. In this episode, we're going to talk about the most influential albums from 40 years ago.
Oh, I thought we were doing musicians with D's in their name. Oh, yeah, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe next time.
Most influential.
So that's going to take us back to 1983.
83, yeah. Yes. So, that was a good year, by the way.
That was a very good year.
And looking us over, I found that out.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's take a look at the birthdays. You want to dive in?
Singer Eric Carmen in 74. Why are we mentioning him? He's only had one hit. Right? He's not very influential.
Well, all by myself. But yeah, but he was the lead singer of the Raspberries.
Oh, you're right about that. Boy, yeah. I tell you,
he's had more than one.
Oh, man, that's looks bad on my behalf. Singer Joe Jackson, 69.
Happy 74th birthday to Mark Knopfler.
I love him.
Of the Dire Straits.
Considered one of the great guitarists of our time.
I get it. Yeah. I really do. Jennifer Warren, 82. Jazz guitarist Pat Metheny, 69.
Steve Martin, boy, we love him, don't we? Especially on that Murder in the Building. Ooh, boy, that's a good show. Have you watched
that show on Hulu?
Hulu, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, it's one of the funniest shows on TV.
And if you don't know why Steve Martin is here on a birthday list of singers.
Well, he did have a hit record, you know.
Yes. King Tut.
King Tut, that's right. Plus, he is a heck of a musician. You know, he plays a mean banjo.
Oh, he does.
He's terrific.
Yeah. Dash Crofts of Seals and Crofts, 85.
Unfortunately, Seals has left us.
Yep. Yeah. Country singer Connie Smith, 82.
Is that 16 Reasons Why I Love You? Is that true? Well, that was her big hit record.
I know.
Try and keep up, Larry. Drummer Pete York of the Spencer Davis Group is 81. Songwriter Jimmy Webb, boy, did he write some good songs. Mm-hmm. 77 years old. Singer-guitarist Tom Johnston of the Doobie Brothers is 75.
Singer Madonna, 65. Is that possible?
She's making a big comeback.
She is.
This year, I understand she's going to come back.
Yep. Singer J.T. Taylor of Kool and the Gang, 70.
Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's, 65. Mm-hmm. Donnie Wahlberg of Blue Bloods. And why is he on here?
It's 54. New Kids on the Block.
Oh, that's right. Boy, this is the second major blunder I've made right here. See, you have so much more of an intricate knowledge of all this stuff than I do.
It's all that gray matter in my head, according to my wife.
Well, no, the fact that I haven't been on radio for 127 years. Guitarist Gary Talley of the Box Tops is 76. I think I told you he's got his own restaurant down in Memphis.
Okay.
From whence they came. Singer Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners. I love them.
They were great.
70 years of age.
Actor and sometime Beach Boy drummer John Stamos, 60. Country singer Leon Womack.
He was a sometime drummer.
Well,
does that mean that once in a while
he tours with him all the time?
Well, I thought you meant that maybe he sits there sometimes and forgets to drum. He just sits there.
Well, I don't know, but he's a pretty darn good drummer. Country singer Leon Womack of 57. Bassist John Deacon of Queen, 72. Rocker and legendary Zeppelin vocalist Robert Plant. Didn't he do a few songs with Alison Krauss?
They're touring right now, as a matter of fact. I saw them the first
75.
Time they toured. I saw them the first time they toured here in Roanoke.
Man, oh, really?
It was a great show. I loved it.
Okay.
And plus, I love her. I think she's terrific.
Oh, she is.
Trombone player Jimmy Pankow of Chicago 7. He's like the main guy out front, isn't he?
One of them, yeah. There's a few original members.
Country singer Casey Musgraves is 35. Singer Jackie DeShannon is 82.
Mm. Guitarist David Marks of the Beach Boys, 75. Rick Springfield. I still liked his song Speak to the Sky. It wasn't nearly as big as Jesse's Girl.
Oh, I told everybody this is going to be a big hit record. This Speak to the Sky, I think we played it three times.
But it was still a great song.
Yeah. Of course.
74 for Rick Springfield, guitarist Mason Williams, 85, and Marshall Thompson of the Shy Lights, 81.
What happened to musical history?
We got it right here.
Along about now. I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Got it right here. The Beatles' A Hard Day's Night premiered in 500 American theaters on August 12, 1964.
Must not have come to the community theater in Woodstock because I did not see it.
Maybe not.
Lynyrd Skynyrd released their debut album pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Uh-huh.
August 12, 1973.
One of your favorites, Willie Mae Big Mama Thornton.
Big Mama.
Yeah, she recorded the original version of Hound Dog. That was on August 13th, 1952.
Mm. Wow. August 13th, 1971, John Lennon flew from Heathrow Airport to New York and never set foot on British soil again. Though a letter from his Aunt Mimi later revealed that John had plans to return to the country in 81, but unfortunately that was not to be.
Mm-hmm. The Who released their fifth studio album, Who's Next. I think this is possibly one of the best albums The Who ever did, with Won't Go Fool Again, Going Mobile, and my favorite, Baba O'Reilly.
Man, that opening, what a song opening that was. Mm-hmm. Beatles played Shea Stadium. August 15th, 1965, it was so loud they couldn't even hear themselves sing. It was the first ever major stadium rock concert. Can you believe that?
No.
The band really cut loose when they played I'm Down. It was the last song in their 12-song set list.
Can you imagine that?
And with every
big
song,
concert like that, and they 12 songs.
12 songs. They were all 3 minutes in length or less. The whole set must have lasted 15 minutes. Joking, of course. Woodstock, the music festival, commenced in 1969. Along about this time, almost 500,000 people attended. Six of them paid to get in. 32 acts performing in sporadic rain, 3 days of peace, love, music, and mud.
Yeah.
Lots of mud.
Yeah.
I had a few drugs here and there.
But it was a history-making performance.
I would remind you, Mr. Daddy, don't take the brown pills. That's not...
Led Zeppelin released their final album. I'll leave it alone. Released their final album, In Through the Outdoor, on August 15th, 1979. It was August 16th. Elvis Presley passed away in 1977.
Yeah, that just seemed like yesterday to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Bon Jovi released Slippery When Wet, August 18th, 86. You Give Love a Bad Name, and Living on a Prayer and Wanted Dead or Alive on that album's good. By the way, I just realized I left a birthday off. I did. Happy 50th birthday to hip hop. Yes, its original roots were starting to sprout in the streets and clubs of the Bronx, New York, as long as 50 years ago.
Wow.
As Swizz Beatz, one of my favorite people. I was talking to old
Swizz
the other day. Swizzle Beatz, hip-hop music producer, he explains it. It was born of an expression against the older generation, as was much of rock music as well, by the way. It became a major musical genre, as we know it now, reflected in music, arts, and its own fashion, making many an artist multimillionaire, Swizz being one of them. And by the way, Swizz is famously married to...
The Swizzette? I don't know.
The Swizzettes. A group, the Swizzettes.
The Swizzettes.
Alicia Keys.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, you learn something all the time when I come to the microphone. Buddy.
There you go.
I'll tell you that right now. That's it. That's all I got. I'm sorry I left that off. So hip-hop is 50. Can you believe it?
No. All right, 1983. It's not 50, but 40 years ago, there were some albums that left an impact. And you brought this to my attention, Pete Larson. Peter Larson wrote a great piece on music. This was originally in the Orange County Register. And I guess it was also in the Roanoke Times recently as well, right?
Twas.
He talks about the music from 1983, in particular, the most influential albums from 1983. And that was a strange year for me. Because that was the year, I think it was in May, that I left Roanoke and went to Baltimore for a year.
Became a Baltimorean.
A Baltimorean. And well, that's probably what I was.
I'm from there. I can say things like that.
But some of the music, I don't know as much early in the year, but what came out from March to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Incredible music.
Top of the heap, I would say, would you agree, would be Thriller.
I would say you're pretty safe there, yes.
Transcended pop music, becoming a cultural artifact worthy of its place on a list of the best albums of all time. And I think I still agree with that.
Yeah. Now, actually, Thriller, I think, came out in 1982, but it just rolled over into the new year. And, of course, all the songs that came off of that, what, Beat It, Billie Jean, The Girl Is Mine, Wanna Be Starting Something. PYT was always one of my favorites, though. Pretty Young Thing.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peppy. Very peppy song. Yes, it was. So let's talk about a couple of them. You want to?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's Dance, David Bowie. Album that provided hits with the title track Modern Love and China Girl, especially that, was influential for Bowie more for his commercial success than the more muted critical acclaim it received. Apparently, a lot of people didn't know what to think of it. Even Bowie later downplayed its artistic merits, but by broadcasting Bowie's audience, Sirius Moonlight was the biggest tour of 83. More fans ultimately found their way to his greatest works before and after.
Had a chance to see him
in
Washington.
Did you really? Did you talk to him? No, I reckon you interviewed him, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't get to.
I thought you interviewed everybody.
Didn't get to talk to him. Okay. I think Modern Love's one of my favorites, but I don't think David Bowie was one of those who wanted to, and of course, we can't leave out Space Oddity, but I don't think he was one of those who really wanted to be in the pop world. I think, or I always considered him someone that you would hear on AOR, Album Oriented Radio.
Yeah.
Does that even exist today? I don't think so. Synchronicity, The Police. The fifth and final record by The Police, spent 17 weeks at number one. And I was just looking in Joel Whitburn's book, going back to 1983, and actually it was The Police and their song Every Breath You Take that stayed at number one longer, a week longer than Billie Jean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pyromania. I don't think I was clued into this. Def Leppard. I was a big Def Leppard person.
Well, that was one of those, and we've talked about
it. I was
it
more
before.
Of a hearing Leppard person. Def Leppard. The English rock band producer Mutt Lange found a way to make hard rock pop songs on Pyromania. Mm-hmm. The crunchy opening riffs of Photograph proved irresistible to fans and radio programmers alike, while Foolin' and Rock of Ages were just as catchy.
Well, you know the relationship, Mutt Lange.
No.
Shania Twain.
Oh, yeah, Shania Twain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Twain.
Twain, yes.
Madonna, who we mentioned a few minutes ago, turning 65.
Coming back again.
In 1983, she was on top of her game with her album Madonna. Lucky Star, Borderline, Burning It Up, I don't remember. Holiday was big. I guess everything at that point, Madonna. And it was the dance clubs.
Didn't matter. She could belch and it would become a big hit record. It was huge. War by U2. Of course, U2 broke big.
Right.
Sunday Bloody Sunday kicks off U2's third album. That was the third album with its all promise of Irish groups. Mm-hmm. First two records locked into place. Bono, The Edge, Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen Jr. became worldwide stars with the arrival of this LP.
U2 I didn't get at the time. It took me years to acquire taste for
them. I agree. We were too caught up in the top 40 genre.
Well, that's true. Speaking of top 40, in 1983, you had Cyndi Lauper coming on the scene. Spandau Ballet and their song True. That was about it for them. I think they had one more.
Who was that?
I think it was called Spandau Ballet.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had one more called Gold. But True was easily their biggest song.
The Eurythmics had an album called Touch.
Mm-hmm.
Their second album, released by the Eurythmics in 83, is the one that really pushed them into the spotlight. Songs such as Here Comes the Rain Again, Who's That Girl, and Right By Your Side.
How about Lionel Richie? Slow Down, that album.
Mm-hmm.
All Night Long. Also, his song Hello. And
it's me.
Yeah.
It's me you're looking for.
Running with the Night, Stuck on You, and Penny Lover. That's just a great album. And there was one more great album.
What?
From that era. Huey Lewis and the News.
Okay.
Sports. The Heart of Rock and Roll was on it. Heart and Soul.
Yeah.
If This Is It. And I think one of my absolute favorite Huey Lewis songs, I Want a New Drug. That was just a good sounding song. And you just couldn't get enough of Huey Lewis and the News at the time.
R.E.M. Did you ever listen to a lot of R.E.M.?
Not a lot.
Murmur was the name of the album.
Mm-hmm.
The quartet from Athens, Georgia, released its debut album in April of 83 to rave reviews, and it ended up Rolling Stone's Album of the Year for 1983.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
Most of these were played on album-oriented stations, with the exception of the pop breakouts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do album music on radio?
No. Yeah. I always wanted to. That was one format I would have liked to have done.
My friend John Mike Elder did, and he was Mr. Laid Back.
The main reason I work on radio is to play commercials and make money and tell you who you're listening to and stuff like that. But sometimes, even though most disc jockeys don't get into music as much as I do, I just get carried away, and that's just what I did, huh? I got the headsets on and cranked them up and just got completely immersed in a total sensory experience of sound and vibrations and...
Gosh, John Mike,
boy,
wow.
REO, that's from the album You Can Tune a Piano, but look out for the fish. It's called Lucky for You. We heard Heart, recorded live off the magazine album. I got the music in me. And, of course, some Boston from Don't Look Back, Feeling Satisfied, Ted Nugent, and before that, Blues Brothers from their platinum briefcase full of blues.
It's called Backselling.
And
back-selling.
You're rocking and rolling on a Saturday night right here at 96X.
If making...
Wow.
You know something?
Wow.
Now, I never got
nice
to do
job,
that.
Nice job, Mike.
That's John Mike Elder.
Yeah.
My old buddy from up in Washington, D.C. He used to send me an air check from time to time, and I'll bet you he didn't know I held on to them. I don't know why, but
that's the way album radio was. You know, they'd play all these songs, then they'd backsell them.
Well, the only thing that I ever did that was close, even close to that, was I did WVTF public radio for a period of time with big band and swing, and we'd play three songs, and then we'd tell you what that was, and I'd probably do a joke, and we'd do a bit, and then we would go back and play three more songs, and I got Bart Prater was my producer, and two old rock and roll disc jockeys doing public radio. Come on, give me a break. You'll never believe what we got most of our complaints about.
What?
Talking up to the vocal. It had never been done on public radio.
Okay.
So I'm talking up. You would have thought that was desecrating the flag. People were furious. How dare him talk up to the vocal? Well, come on, give me a break. But we did it anyway.
Come on, cheapskate. Go out and buy your own copy.
So anyway, that's what we did.
By the way, 1983, cost of living, average monthly rent, $335.
Ooh, go back to that again.
No, let's go back to this. Cost of a gallon of gas in 1983, 96 cents.
Oh, no, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Volkswagen Rabbit you could get for just a hair. Get it? Under 7,000. I'm sorry, that's the best I could do. Gallon of milk was $1.35. Average income per year, $21,070.
Oh, that's what you and I were making in radio in the 80s.
Price of a house, $34,000. Cabbage Patch Kids were very big that year for Christmas. 1999, first mobile phones are introduced. The public went crazy thanks to the Motorola company
and
final episode of MASH.
And by the way, aired. They're still making some mighty fine stuff, the Motorola people.
Yeah,
huh?
they're really still out there. All right, shall we do music news?
Yes, indeed. This just into the music news room. Riley Keough, daughter of Lisa Marie Presley, has won in court regarding the estate of Elvis Presley. She is now officially in charge of the Presley estate, including Graceland.
Wow.
We're happy to say that Priscilla will be allowed to be buried at Graceland in the backyard, along with Elvis, Gladys, Vernon, and his twin brother. She'll also receive a cool $1 million settlement from the estate.
Wow.
And they will pay her $400,000 legal phase. Can you believe that? Kind of money these people have to pay to protect themselves. Riley says that there are no hard feelings. Happiness abounds all around with this latest development. Just a small family tiff that has since passed.
She has come a long way since Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yes, hasn't she? Very talented lady, by the way. I think she's a very talented
Absolutely. August 13th, by the way, was Happy International Left-Handers Day.
What?
And we send left-handed musicians our best. Jimi Hendrix, Duane Allman, Kurt Cobain, McCartney, Mark Knopfler, Stu Copeland, David Bowie, Phil Collins, Elvis Costello, among those who are lefties. Guns N' Roses is out with a new song.
They are?
They are. It's called Perhaps, and it's a rocker. You know who else is out with a new song?
No.
As of Friday, August 25th?
No, I don't know.
Alice Cooper.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's quite the golfer, too. You know that?
He is quite the golfer, and his brand new album is called Road, and White Line Frankenstein is the first single.
Did you know he opened for the Turtles for a period of time? Really? They were all good friends. I'm reading a book on the Turtles that is fascinating, and I'm going to have to give you the title so you can see if you can bring it up. I know you don't.
I would love to.
I know you don't read, but
I just listen.
Maybe we can find a listenable version.
We do have a future Beyond the Tracks with Alice Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Coming up.
You ready for a radio story?
Yep.
Larry Lujack and Tommy Edwards, known as Uncle Lair and Little Tommy, in the afternoons on WLS Chicago, used to do something called Animal Stories.
Loved that segment.
This one about how the government trains attack dogs that are used by the Department of Defense to sniff out bombs and communists.
Okay.
Only 17% of all the dogs ever qualify. When they explain how they test for aggressiveness.
The first thing they look for, this is the most important, first thing they look for in a male dog is his urination pattern, says here little Tommy.
What do you mean?
Well, when a dog reaches a year old, if he is given the opportunity to urinate on a pole or a fence, but he still squats, it shows immaturity, and he is therefore unacceptable. So, you know, if they get a squatter, they just wash him right out. They think he's some sort of wimp dog who probably eats quiche.
Yeah.
But if they lift that leg up there and let fly, he's a born killer.
By the way, Larry Lujack's Animal Stories, I think they're still available maybe on Amazon.
Probably so.
Yeah.
We've got some deaths to report, unfortunately. We've got a lot of them.
Yes, we do.
Ray Hildebrand has died at the age of 82. Do you know who Ray Hildebrand was? Well, I thought you
Fill me in, please.
Humming his songs when you came through the studio door here. He had the 1963 hit, Hey, Paula, with Jill Jackson.
Hey.
Paul, and he was Paul of Paul and Paula, and Jill was the Paula. He was Paul in the record, but just as the record hit its popularity in 1963.
Yeah.
Paul and Paula had a huge falling out.
Oh, no.
They couldn't stand each other, it turns out. And so Ray left Dick Clark's Cavalcade of Stars touring show where they were appearing together.
Oh.
Supposedly, Dick Clark, and I read somewhere in one of my books that I read.
Yes. As opposed to me listening.
Dick Clark himself lip-synced the part of Paul during live performances. Thank heavens it wasn't Paula who left the show. I can't imagine Dick Clark in a pleated dress. Anyway. What else you got?
Jerry Moss has also passed away. Legendary A&M founder and executive died on August 17th, the age of 88. He was a legendary recording executive behind stars like Herb Albert, Carpenters, The Police, Peter Frampton, and Sheryl Crow. Died of natural causes, according to his widow, Tina. Moss and Albert's independent music company, A&M.
Huge.
You get it, Albert and Moss. A&M created some great ones on vinyl, including Albert's Whipped Cream and Other Delights, Carole King's Tapestry.
This Guy's in Love with You, which he didn't want to sing, but he sang it anyway.
Yeah,
he also played the trumpet on that song.
I think that was the first song that Herb Albert ever sang.
It's not the only one that I know of. But anyway, it's not the first time that he played the trumpet and sang simultaneously. It's very difficult to do.
Oh, yeah, I would think so, yes.
Very, very, very difficult.
Even Doc Severinsen can't do that.
No, you're right.
Also, did Peter Frampton's Frampton Comes Alive. The company was home to Carpenters, Cat Stevens, Janet Jackson, Soundgarden, Joe Cocker, The Go-Go's, Sheryl Crow, Jerry Moss, inducted with Albert in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2006.
A great record label, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Of course, they both got wildly rich when they sold A&M Records. Kinks keyboardist John Gosling has died. He was 75. He co-wrote and did keyboards for many of their hits, including the most famous Lola.
Ah.
L-O-L-A,
Lola. Loved that song.
DJ Casper has done his last slide into heaven.
Oh, no.
Did you know who did DJ? Well, you played the stuff, I think.
I did.
The creator of the Cha-Cha slide. Is that the same as the electric slide?
I don't know. I
expect you to come up with your part of this. Has died at the young age of 58. Guess he just cha-cha'd himself to death.
That's possible.
Death. This song became very popular at family functions and weddings. The Cha-Cha Slide.
Hmm.
You didn't know that?
No.
No. Geez, here, I've been in mourning
for a while. Chicken dance.
No. Okay. You ready for a pop quiz?
I'm ready.
Pop quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, here we go. Okay. Don't win anything if you can answer the question. What was the final number? Another pop play. What was the final number one song for the Rolling Stones, which was influenced by disco?
Yeah. Was it Heartbreaker?
It was Miss You. Miss You has a definite disco beat and was inspired by YMCA, the song by the Village People. I can't figure that one out. Same as it. But Mick Jagger says this. Mick and Charlie were hearing it at Studio 54 in New York and decided to write a song. Kind of like that. Keith Richards, on Mr. Grumpy, on the other hand, was none too thrilled about it, but they gave it their touch, and it became a huge hit for them, number one.
Oh, that's a great song.
It is a great song. You're doggone right.
All right.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Do we need to check levels here, like left and right, stereo?
You know, Larry.
Yes?
It's your name is Larry. It's hard to believe, Larry, that once upon a time we needed an explanation and demonstration of stereo and high fidelity records. Can you imagine it? We need someone to explain how they work. Like, we didn't already have two ears with which to hear.
Well, yeah, but we were all used to a little transistor radio.
I know. But I came across in my record library such a thing.
Oh?
Now, why I purchased this, I have no idea. My friend John Mike can tell you, because we both collected weird, strange things. But I found it interesting and instructive, by the way. I can now listen out of both ears.
You are about to hear Olympic Stereo High Fidelity.
Oh, my.
A wonderful new achievement in electronic engineering that recreates sound exactly as it was recorded.
Oh, my.
In conventional hi-fi, sound originates from only one point.
Mm-hmm.
In stereo, the sound comes from many directions. It's as though the band was spread out right in front of you.
Isn't that funny?
Thank you. Thank you for that.
The Olympic Record Company, I don't even know who they were. And I have their record explaining. And, of course, they have monaural versions of songs. And it's now listening in stereo.
Stereo.
So, anyway, we had such things.
Ready for Beyond the Tracks? This time in Beyond the Tracks, a few interesting facts about Robbie Robertson of the band, who passed away, and we mentioned last time.
Oh, that's a shame.
From his memoir, Testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie and the guys used to be booed when playing with Bob Dylan.
And why would that be?
People did not want to hear a band behind Bob Dylan. They just wanted to hear the Bob Dylan music.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. They decided to take the name The Band after everyone in town would bump into them and ask, how's the band? Or is the band working on new music? So it occurred to Robbie and his fellow musicians, just call themselves The Band.
I never knew that.
And that would be the perfect name for it.
I'll be daggone.
Eric Clapton wanted to join The Band.
when they played, good enough, right?
Well, when they played Woodstock, he wanted to join the band.
No kidding.
That was in August of 69. George Harrison was also the band's biggest fan. Hmm. Robbie wrote "The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down" after studying the Civil War, going to study the Civil War and write the song about the South. But he wrote the song after spending time in the Woodstock Library.
Okay.
Because he lived in Woodstock.
And interestingly, it was sung as a guy, even though "The Night They Drove Old Dixie mm-hmm. Down" was sung by who?
Joan Baez.
Joan Baez.
Yeah, and their versions sound totally different.
But she kept the lyrics like they were, as if she were a man in that song.
Yeah, that's true. There.
And I used to drive a 1963 Dixie Down. It was a great car. couldn't get parts for it, though. Go ahead.
right after "Free Man in Paris," Joni Mitchell asked Robbie to play on "Raised on Robbery."
Oh, okay.
Love that song. You can also hear Robbie's guitar work on "Mockingbird" with Carly Simon and James Taylor.
How about that? So. Whoa. Well, we've just been full of it today.
We're full of it most podcasts, but we're really full of it today. Is that it?
I think that's all I got. I've run out of stuff, and I'm getting hungry.
That's all. Well, then let's go have lunch.
Go have lunch.
That's it for episode 71. Thank you so much for listening to Two Larrys and a Mic. If you like this episode, hit the subscribe button so you'll be notified of new episodes, and you can find Two Larrys and a Mic wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to share this podcast with someone. Click on the share button, and we will see you next time for Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly, and hand me that Allen wrench, could you, Mike? Getting those lug nuts off.
So now it's Mike and Allen in the garage?
Mike and Allen in the garage.
We'll see you next time.